I'd rather hear these guys sing than eat, because I've heard them eat. Amen. It's good to be on the winning side, though, isn't it? Thank you, guys, reminding us of the blood and that because of it, we're on the winning side. Well, let's turn to Psalm 119. You should have it pretty well marked in your Bible and an easy trail to get to it. Psalm 119, and tonight we're going to look at another letter of the Hebrew alphabet, part of this poetry, and we're going to go from verse 57 to verse 64. We're looking at a man on this occasion, the psalmist, who has been mistreated and robbed, probably, and even though he had been robbed, he was still rejoicing. Now, that'd be a little hard to do, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, there are some good lessons that he teaches us here. And we want to see what the psalmist found and what he recognized and realized was going to help him. In verses 57 and 58, we'll not read the whole chapter, but just go through it through these verses. We see his find in these two verses. Let's look at those. His find, what he found. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Now, what did he find? Well, he realized something in the first part of that verse. Thou art my portion. And you see the word thou, and always that is the thing that precedes the result. But he's talking about God. He's saying, God, you are my portion. Now, what does he mean, you're my portion? He means, God, you're all that I need. You're everything that I need. You're my inheritance. You're my part, you're my possession, you're all that I need, you are my allotment, my everything. And so he realized that God was the one, thou art. I'm glad we know tonight who he is. Not only that, but he had a resolve. He said, because you're my portion, O Lord, I have said that I would keep thy words, because I know who you are. You see, when we get it right about who God is, then we don't have any problem obeying the Lord. If we understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us and know that he is all that we need, then it's not a struggle for us to obey what God says. Now, what was he at this point going to obey? I would keep thy words. Or what did he have? Well, he had the commandments. He had the law. He had what had been presented up until that point. He had what we would call today the Word of God. And he said, I'm going to do what you tell me to do in your Word. I'm going to keep your Word. Why? Because I know who you are. And because I believe what you said. And then we go over into the New Testament and we have the principles of the Word of God that we're supposed to keep. And we're to do that. We're to do what God says for us to do. What does he tell us to do? Well, number one, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love him. And then the second main thing likened to that is love your neighbor as yourself. You see, if you'll do those two things, you'll keep the law, right? Because you won't do all those other things, and you'll put God where he belongs in your life. And then it will be your joy and thrill to keep the Word of God. Now, he also requested something in verse 58. He realized something. He resolved something. I'm going to keep your words. And then in verse 58, he requested something. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. I ask you, O God, for a favor. I prayed. I called on you and asked you for a favor. Notice it was with his whole heart. He wasn't holding anything back. My whole heart. And what did he ask God to do? Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I'm glad tonight God is a merciful God. Do you know that God would rather give mercy than judgment? He'd rather save somebody than have them die and go to hell. Thank God he is a merciful God. And God wants to give his mercy, and he does. And the psalmist is realizing that, and he is requesting that God would give him mercy. You see, he knew he was a sinner also, and that he needed mercy. I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy all the time. Just think of all the sins since you have been saved that God has forgiven you for. Boy, that's the mercy of God, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I can think of a litany of sins. You probably say, well, you're just a sorry, rotten, no good pastor. Hey, I'm a human being, and ever since I've been saved, I haven't been perfect, nor have you. But I'll tell you one thing, I have found God's mercy is always there. And when we drop to our knees and call on him and repent and ask for his help, God wants to help us. Sometimes we get the idea God's mad at everybody and God just waiting to whack you with a baseball bat from heaven or something. That's not God. God wants to give mercy. And if we'll repent and turn to him and believe that, he wants to give mercy to sinners. He really does. I'm like you. I get aggravated with sinners. And I get aggravated with what they do, especially politicians that aren't saved. I get aggravated with them, you know. But you know, God would like to save them if they'll just believe and ask him. He'd come into their heart, forgive them of all their sins, and save their soul. God wants to help people and save people, and he is merciful. And so God has a response to keep his word. And he has promised to do that. And we have a responsibility to do what God says so that we can have the mercy of God and do what God wants us to do. God is a compassionate God. And already it had been stated, and already the psalmist knew that God was a God of compassion. There are many verses in the Old Testament that would remind us of the compassion of God. 2 Chronicles 39, don't turn there. But that is just a statement that God is merciful. Well, I'm glad he is. I wouldn't have gotten saved if it wasn't for the mercy of Almighty God. Now, look at not only the psalmist's mind, but the psalmist's feet. In as he talks about it in verse 58 and 9, he's talking about praying for favor, praying for mercy, and then he says, I want that because, verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Now look at the first part of that verse. I thought on my ways. You know, it's not a bad thing to think once in a while. Did you know the devil doesn't want us to think? He wants people to be so taken up with all kinds of other things. And he is good at supplying those things so that we do not think about what's going on, what's being done. The word muse means think. Muse over that. Think about that. Well, when you put the A in front of it, that negates it, and we get the word what? Amusement. And I believe sometimes we spend a whole lot more time being amused with our brains out of gear, television, videos, and everything in the world rather than the Word of God, and just getting there somewhere and thinking and meditating, what am I doing? What's happening to me? Where am I with God? You know, think about eternity. Think about your age, maybe. Think about what's taking place in your life and all of those things. I thought on my ways. He said, man, I stopped and backed up and thought on my ways. That's exactly what the prodigal did. He got to looking around and he said, I don't like that pig slop. In fact, I don't even like pigs, he was thinking. And he got to thinking, he thought, man, I had money and I came down here and I wasted it on partying and prostitutes and I thought I had friends and now all my friends are gone and I can't find them and I'm eating slop with the pigs. Let me think this thing over a little bit. Hey, I believe I'll turn around and go back to my father's house. He thought the right thing, got his life straightened out, and went back, and the Father was merciful and loved him and brought him back in. And that's exactly what we need to do sometimes. We need to stop and think, who am I? What am I doing here? Where am I going? What's my purpose in life? What am I trying to achieve? Am I looking at eternity? And let it be a turning point. If a sinner would just think, they'd get saved. They'd just think about the reality of hell and God's mercy. They'd have a turning point in their life and turn around and come to the Lord, just like probably most of you and maybe all of you here tonight in this Wednesday night crowd would do. He meditated, and I believe he looked at his self-evaluation, and then he said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Evidently, his feet were going a little bit the wrong way, and he said, I thought about it, and I said, whoa, wait a minute, I got to turn around here. And he turned his feet in the other direction. He said, I'm walking the wrong way, and I've been thinking the wrong thing, and maybe I've been feeling sorry for myself about this, but at any rate, we know that he gives us a reason for his turning around, because he meditated and thought about it, and that would do us a lot of good to do that. And he had, after that perfect obedience in his life, I believe, as he turned, and he was very prompt with all of that. I think that was an important thing for him to do. He didn't wait around. He just turned to the Lord. And then he said in verse 60, I made what? Haste. And delayed not to keep thy commandments. The psalmist made haste. You know, sometimes we keep saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to stop that sin tomorrow. I'm going to give up that habit tomorrow. I'm going to quit tomorrow. I'm going to start giving tomorrow. I'm going to start serving tomorrow. I'm going to go witness to somebody tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. We ought to be doing it today and not put it off. Procrastination is a terrible thing, and procrastination leads to a lot of bad things, and we need to not put things off. I made haste. I delayed not to keep thy commandments. I knew, dear God, it was very important for me to get in your will, to be right in my heart with you. And that expressed the urgency of the matter. And he needed to do it then. Now, he also talks about not only his foes, but he talks about his fervor. Look in verses 61 and 62. He says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. That is the group. Bands means a group of people. Of wicked have robbed me. Maybe he was literally robbed. Perhaps he was robbed of peace and joy and many of those other things. He was letting it get him down. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. He said, I know that I felt like quitting, but I didn't forget thy law. And that's true in many cases. Abraham had to go out with Lot, and they looked over the plain and the green plains and the valley. And Lot said, I want to go down there. He knew there were Sodomites down there, and he shouldn't have gone down there. And Abraham and Lot said, there's not enough room for our cattle, all of our cattle. And he said, I want this good land and this pasture land. And Abraham said, go ahead. But you know what? God blessed him, didn't he? You read in Genesis 13 and Genesis 15, read along in there, and you'll find out that he had to go down there later on and rescue Lot. And then Lot went back down. He didn't have enough sense. He's like a lot of Baptists. He just went on right back down there again to the same old sin. But if you'll read about it, you'll find out that Abraham was blessed by God, and God took care of him. And even though we may have the bands of the wicked that are trying to rob us, if we'll just stay in the Word of God, friend, God's going to bless us. And we'll come out on the winning side. We'll be on the winning side. Now look at his friends that he talks about. He's talking about those in verse 63 that love the Lord. He had fervor. Well, let's go back to verse 62. I didn't intend to skip that verse. But going back to his fervor, look at what he did. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. His fervor was so great that he got up at midnight. You say, what does midnight mean? It means midnight, in the middle of the night. He got up. By the way, he didn't get up in the middle of the night because he couldn't sleep. Insomnia. He didn't get up in the middle of the night because he was worried about his sins. He didn't get up in the middle of the night because he couldn't rest or anything like that. He got up in the middle of the night because he loved God. And he wanted some quiet time, to spend some time alone with God uninterrupted, where he could think and meditate. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Why? Because of thy righteous judgments. You've been so kind and you've been so good, and your judgments have been judgments of grace. You go into a court of law, you're at the whim of the attorney, the lawyer, or the judge rather. You might get a good judge, you might get a mean judge. You might see some of you Baptists know what I'm talking about, right? You've been there a few times. I've been there once or twice myself. But you can get a mean judge, you can get a good judge. But thank God this judge is a righteous judge, and he's going to be merciful. I'd rather have a judge like that, wouldn't you? And he's saying, I'm going to come praise you. I'm going to give you thanksgiving. When's the last time you were so thrilled and you're thinking about God when you went to bed or late in the evening, and somehow you just said, you know, I just need to get up and I need to be alone with God, and I set the alarm for 12 o'clock midnight or somewhere around there and get up and go somewhere by myself, get on my knees and just say, God, I love you and I thank you, God. You're so good. It's good to have a quiet place. It's good to have a place where we can get alone with God. And then let's look at his friends. He said, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Boy, he's got it right, hadn't he? He said, I'm going to run around. You see, you are who you run around with. You parents and grandparents, listen up. Your kids and grandkids are who they run around with. And if they run around with some bad dudes, you ought to get them away from those bad dudes. You say, well, they might get them saved in 3 or 4 years. Well, I think there's a different venue, a different way. But if you let them run around with them and all of that, you better be careful, because they are what their friends are. You can count on that. The worst trouble I ever got into in my whole life was when I got with the wrong crowd. And it didn't take long with that wrong crowd until I got in so much trouble, it took a long time to get out of it. God salvaged all of that and blessed, but I'm just saying, we need to be a companion of them that fear God. That's who we ought to run around with. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any contact with the lost. We need that. And if we are so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good, then we're not going to do much, but we need to come in contact with lost people. But we don't need to take up their ways and run around with them. The unsaved people think more of smoky pool halls and bars and Hollywood and the theater and all of those things. They're all wrapped up in all of that stuff. But the righteous are wrapped up in prayer meeting, teaching a Sunday school class, reading the Bible, witnessing, doing things for God. That's my crowd. That's the kind of people I want to run around with. How about you? You say, that's just because you're preaching. No, that's who I want to run around with. Before I was a preacher, I wanted to run around with that crowd. People who go to church, who love God, who want to make a difference, who really, really want to do something for the glory of God. I don't want to be around some mossy backslidden Baptist very long, because they'll pull me down. Amen? I want to be around the Baptist that's on fire for God. I like to get around other preachers who are doing something, and they'll say, you know, we did this, we did this, we did this. And I say, did it work? Was soul saved? Yes. Let's dive in and try the same thing. Well, let's get something going. Let's get it for God. I like to be with those that are a companion of those that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. And then he talks about the facts, what he discovered and what he desired. Look at it in verse 64. What he discovered. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. There we are again, back to that reality. The earth is full of God's mercy. Picture that in your mind. By the way, that's why it'll work where you are. That's why to work, Brother Mike, where you are. That's why to work where any of the missionaries go. Because no matter where you go on the face of this globe, God's mercy is there. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. And people can be saved anywhere in the world. And they do get saved. They do get saved. And then what he desired, he said, teach me thy statutes. Lord, just keep on teaching me. Let me keep on growing. You know the Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you know that that has no end to it? Until we get to heaven. Just keep on, Lord, you're full of mercy. Teach me your word. Help me to stay in it. Help me to learn it. Help me to practice it. Help me to do what you say to do. Let's stand, please. If you have a need tonight, the altar is open, as always, on Wednesday night. Father, we ask now you'd bless in the invitation. I'm sure that the Word of God has spoken to our hearts. We look at this psalmist who had been robbed but not ruined. And the thing that kept him and sustained him was knowing your mercy and knowing and having a desire to keep your word and do your word and to walk in a state and an attitude of absolute appreciation for your mercy. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to think like the psalmist. Help us to think, to muse, not just be amused. Help us to consider where we are and what we need. Lord, when we know your love, and when we know who you are, that thou art the Lord, God of mercy, then it's easier to obey you. If there's some area in our life that we need to correct, help us do it tonight. In Christ's name.